Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Item 25-1275, designation of council chambers in honor of Dr. P.C. Wu. The recommendation here is that the City Council designate the council chambers in honor of Dr. P.C. Wu. Need a motion and a second.
Jared Moore, City Council President. Can I get a motion and a second?
I'd move the approval.
So he moves it himself.
All right, so we've got a second.
And then finally gets a second, and I couldn't even make out who it was from. It was from one of the ladies. I think it might have been Allison Patton, but I am not certain. That's weird to begin with. Okay, typically the city council president or the chairman of the board does not motion things themselves because somebody else does it for them. They're supposed to be running the meeting, not adding items. You sometimes hear them say things like, pass the gavel to the vice chair or the vice president in order for me to be able to move the item because like it's an important thing to them for their district or whatever. So the idea is let's rename the city council chambers after former city councilman, Councilman Emeritus P.C. Wu, who served, I believe, 16 years and is widely known everywhere in the state. And Jared Moore says,
in this request, I know sometimes these can be uncomfortable conversations, almost talking like salaries, but I would like to tell you why I believe it's in the public good to have this conversation. The first thing I like to say is the story of Dr. P.C. Wu is inspiring. The story of a first-generation immigrant who comes to this country, doesn't just assimilate and learn the language and survive, comes and thrives and becomes a leader of his community, achieves academic excellence, achieves the educational status of his doctorate, and becomes essentially an empower of other leaders.
Absolutely. And even in other circles outside of Pensacola, widely recognized in Florida as Mr. Pensacola.
There is a list. I submitted a letter with some of his accomplishments. You know, many here locally that we know, vice president, president of the council, chair of the CRA. But that spreads all the way. You know, the Northwest Florida League of Cities, they have an award every year they give out for an outstanding municipal officer, and it's called the Dr. P.C. Wu Award. If they recognize it in Northwest Florida, we should recognize it here in Pensacola. Throughout the state, it was the first and only, to my knowledge, person to be elected president of the Florida League of Cities.
He was the president of the Florida League of Cities. There's literally an award named after him by the Northwest Florida League of Cities. You know, and nobody can really challenge the accomplishments, the service, the demeanor, the civility, P.C. Wu, also of the selfie-taking ability. If you've ever known P.C., if you ever manage to bump into P.C. in public, he will always take a picture of you. He will always post it. He is Mr. Selfie. I don't know who's more Mr. Selfie, him or Eldon Scott. Like, they're both pretty, like, at the top of the mountain in this regard. Paul Entrekin gets in there, the longtime air show caller for the Pensacola Beach Air Show, local institution himself.
This is something that's come up previously, and in his self-effacing, humble way, PC said, well, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, that's okay. But now is your time to act. There's no good reason not to. Seriously, there's no good reason not to name these chambers in honor of P.C. Wu.
Even Grover Robinson, the former mayor, and Quint Studer showed up.
I tell you what, no matter even whether I was a commissioner, whether I was mayor, whether I'm even my new job where I'm all over the state of Florida, if I tell people immediately that I'm from the city of Pensacola, the first thing they ask me is, do you know P.C. Wu? I say, yes, I had a chance to serve with him, but he is definitely more popular than DeLuna or Galvez. He's only a share, and definitely any mayor we've ever had, but he's a share. He's about a hair under the Blue Angels for Pensacola. Everybody knows him everywhere.
Now, you think he's exaggerating when he says this, but D.C. Reeves confirmed it later on in his comments. He's like, everywhere I go, people are always angry at me because they think I'm P.C. Wu when they first see my name, because D.C., and it's not him, and they're all disappointed. Like, across the state of Florida, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever traveled much, but when you travel, people in other countries know where you're from based on something ridiculous, usually. Like, I was from Chicago, and so when we're in, you know, Germany, oh, Al Capone. I'm like, yeah, 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 that's right, Al Capone. You know...
Like, that's what just, they know.
That's what they know of Chicago, oh right? Yes, Al Capone. Yes, that's wow. right. 80 years ago when it was at that time. Anyway, so in this case, you know, around the state of Florida, Pensacola is known as PC Wooland because the government types know him. So the question, well, then why would any, you know, would there be any question about this? Ellen Vinson, the widow wife, I believe, of former Judge Roger Vinson.
My husband's favorite thing to do was naturalization ceremonies. And PC was one of his favorite speakers. And he didn't only come when he was a speaker. He came just because he wanted to meet the new Americans. I think everybody here, we take a lot for granted, and PC doesn't.
So should we name the city council chambers after a still living, former, longtime serving member of city council? Well, a couple of the citizens showed up, and they did not think this was a good idea. One was Renee Borden.
According to our charter, you meet here in this chamber, a chamber provided by the taxpayers and citizens to provide community support and to legislate the matters of our city. Your terms have been set by citizens, and by design, they're not meant to be permanent or perpetual. And it's for that reason I don't believe that we should designate these chambers to honor one citizen or a past political public servant.
And so this notion of what does this chamber represent? Should it be named for any individual, no matter how great? And everybody acknowledges how great PC has been. But the question of greatness may not be enough. She says, well, how about a park or a street or something like that? Christian Wagley, who is a good friend and a friend of the station, shows up on the wrap periodically or when I have environmental questions, and he says...
I think it creates some awkward situations. One thing is that we know, and certainly historians have come to know this because we name things after people, certainly while they're still living. Sometimes things change later, situations change, and a lot of communities don't do namings unless someone has, you know, has passed on.
Yeah, posthumous naming is a rule generally for a lot of things, especially at the state level, because the facts can't change anymore. But then again, the facts can change. You know, T.T. Wentworth, right, can change. But also, you know, our perception of those facts, whether it's, you know, what they viewed fine then, we viewed differently today, kind of under the cancel culture concept. But in any case, posthumous naming is a lot more common. Naming while somebody's still alive is much more debatable, and they did debate it at length. So we'll talk about that in a second. 437-1620, curious what you think. Should the city council chambers be named for PC Wu or not? John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater. Get your tickets now for the epic gothic musical thriller Jekyll and Hyde. Running through October 5th, get your tickets at PLT Box Office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com. Still rolling accident-free right now. Taking a look at I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98, 29. Everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. So everybody's in favor of it. Nobody's against it. Everybody loves PC. So obviously they're going to pass it unanimously. Not so fast. Not so fast.
Not so fast.
May I remind you that Jared Moore did not get someone to move this initially and barely got somebody to second it initially? Right? That should give you an indicator that there might have been some people not completely on board with this. Charles Baer, city councilman.
I don't support naming these chambers after anyone. It has nothing to do with who this person is with PC Wu. It has nothing to do with his character, his contributions to our community or to the state. There's no doubt he's done that. He's served this community with distinction. And his dedication, I don't question his dedication to anyone. But naming the council chambers, which it's the very heart of our democracy here, after any one person, no matter how respected, how much they've done, just raises broader concerns we can't ignore.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a fair question. Is this the right place? Should we be naming this for anybody? And his argument is, look, the public spaces belong to the people, not to the memory or the current, you know, he's obviously still alive, or to the idea of one particular person. Now, the flip side of that is the idea that, you know, if you name a room or a chamber or a building after a person, it inspires us to think about who that person was and what can we learn from them and why we might want to behave more like them. And so this was one of the debate issues was, is it right to name this particular location, the city council chambers? Should the chambers have a namesake of any kind? And should the namesake be somebody that is alive, which is its own question? Tenny Day Broughton.
Several council members from the past mm-hmm. have reached out to me, you know, and there's that. So I wanted to know if anything on the books, if there was anything on the books about it being a process and how we do this.
And apparently there isn't a process for this, and not even for and there's no rule against naming it for somebody who's living. Jen Brer, another city council member.
We did have a discussion about it only being deceased, but we didn't codify it. Even though it is interesting, I agree with you. Every council member that has called me, which has been quite a few, have all thought that it had been codified, that it was only once deceased.
Yeah, and it's not been, in fact. I think it's interesting that several former city council members weighed in, and there were several city council members now who mentioned that several former city council members had gotten a hold of them. I didn't ask for the names. It's a public record if somebody makes a phone call about a subject. You're kind of on squishy territory whether you could force them to tell you who talked to them about this. What you could ask is, you know, tell me any phone calls you got from former city council members in the last month. You know, if you ask nicely, maybe they give it, you know, because the metadata of the phone call record itself is public record. The content of a phone call is not public record because there's no actual record. Unless the NSA knows something that we don't know.
of course they do.
Of course they do, right? So Jen Brer says there's no question PC was great. And she even acknowledged it. She voted for him every time until she didn't. Because, of course, she defeated him in his, you know, district by a very thin margin. But, you know, she loves him and, you know, or at least loved until she ran against him. But, you know, her argument was, yeah, but we sit as a body. We don't sit as individuals. And we shouldn't be thinking of this as a room to a person, but as a room to an entity. And so naming it Council Chambers makes sense. Naming it the PC Woo City Council Chambers is kind of weird because then you're raising up an individual over everybody else. Even Allison Patton. I really appreciate when people are very forthcoming about something like this.
So there's only been a few, or I should say there have only been a few items in the last however long I've been on the council, almost 3 years, that I have really struggled with. And this is one of them.
And I appreciate that because I honestly felt similarly. I felt like, you know, PC's great, but he's still alive. And PC's great. I don't know if this room, a room for a person to kind of get the gist of what they're talking about there. And really, if you think about this question, there's three sort of check marks you have to ask. You know, number one, is the person the right person? Like, is PC Woo a genuinely decent, good civil servant, right? Or, you know, elected official? Then number two is the question of, well, is this the right venue? Should it be a park or a street or a building or a conference room was another thing that was brought up, or should it be city council chambers? And then the third thing is it okay to do it while he's still alive? And honestly, for my money, I came down also on the no side, having nothing to do with PC, because naming things for PC doesn't bother me at all. I think there's a lot of people we should be naming stuff for. You know, we've talked about how we're going to be naming the city for, or the street for Reverend Powell. Good. I think H.K. Matthews should get a street name. I mean, there's lots of, I want more history. I want more meaningful markers. I want more statues and plaques and street names. More of that to me is a good thing. Not while they're alive. Very uncomfortable with the while they're alive stuff. And honestly, not even shortly after they pass away. I think there ought to be some time. I mean, in some cases, maybe it's they've so clearly been who they are for so long that it's okay. But, you know, as somebody pointed out in a text, what might have happened if 20 years ago we had, you know, Los Angeles had created Harvey Weinstein Park? You know?
Oops, got to change it.
Or the Bill Cosby City Council Chambers.
Well, a big example of that is in Milton, the community
right.
center.
Right. You named after Benson? Guy Benson. Is that right?
No. Guy Benson's a radio host.
Who am I thinking of?
Guy Thompson.
Thank you. So sorry, Guy Benson, but Guy Thompson, who was the mayor,
mm-hmm.
and the community really center was named after him. And then it comes out that we have, you know,
issues. Yeah.
Yeah, financial stuff. And then
they
right?
renamed it.
And then they unnamed it for him. And they left it as now it's just the community center, right? I don't think that they named
no,
it for somebody
else. No, I think
else.
They did.
No, I can't remember. But yeah, the reason you wait till after people are passed away is because they're less likely to do weird things all of a sudden. But also, even after people are passed away, you might learn stuff. So, you know, there's kind of a waiting period. Think how the Catholic Church doesn't declare somebody a saint until after they're dead, and then three verified miracles. And, you know, like, there's a process. So
the Clyde L. Gracie Community Center.
Rolls right off the tongue. I don't know who that is, so I apologize. Miltonians, I cannot tell you, but I'm sure an upstanding person. I don't know. But that's the point. So I would have voted no. And in the end, you know what happened is kind of interesting, is Jared Moore, because he could count, that, oh, it's just me. I mean, there was maybe, because I don't think that, Casey, I don't think Casey spoke up, so I'm not sure where Casey Jones falls on this. He might not have been there. But he said, yeah, I see this isn't going to work, so let's just pull the item. So they did. They pulled the item because he didn't want to have a no vote. And nobody, none of these city council members wanted to vote no. What they wanted to do was do the right thing, and they felt like they were in an impossible situation. And let me say this. I'll say it one time now, and I'll say it again later. This is exactly why city council in Pensacola, which is the only deliberative body I know of that does it this way, is so terribly wrong for not allowing them to discuss their views in the agenda conference. Because you could have hashed this out on Monday. You could have found out that nobody was in support of this. And you wouldn't have even had it brought as an item on Thursday. But they have this weird rule. Nobody else has this rule that at the agenda conference, you only talk about the item and the technical facts around the item. Nobody gives their view. And I think it's a huge mistake. I've always thought it was a mistake. So, hey, city council, I strongly suggest you revise that policy. Allow for argument. You could also allow for public input, but you can definitely allow for argument on Monday. And you don't have to allow for public input, by the way. Escambia County Commission doesn't do it that way. But you should definitely allow for input. You could have learned this was a bad idea on a Monday, or at least tabled it and not had to bring it in front of everybody. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
There's no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 29 around the East 10 Mile Road going southbound, you're going to see some delays in that area. But other than that, everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody noted that the south end of 9th Avenue is going to become Lewis Bear Jr. Way today, which I think that is right. I think that's today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, cool. But, of course, he's passed on. And state law also is a posthumous requirement. That came up in the meeting.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com or call 934-2768.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Bremen Proper and Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Bremen Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit bremenproper.com for more.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Blinken, what are you doing up there?
Guessing. I guess no one's coming.
Can't have a blind sentry. It's a joke. 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Great song. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. The FBI on the scene of a deadly attack at a Mormon church in Michigan. It happened Sunday in a small community about 50 miles to the north of Detroit. Four people plus the shooter were killed. Several others were injured. Authorities say 40-year-old Thomas Sanford drove through the front doors of the church and started shooting. He also set a fire before he was shot by responding officers in the parking lot.
Yeah, and they say that, you know, they expect to find more, I guess is the last I heard of it anyway. It's a horrible incident. You know, it's kind of interesting. A few years ago, the church went through this whole process of un-Mormonizing. Like, they don't like that term. They want to be called Latter-day Saints, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is so clunky. But that's how everybody else refers to them. Everybody, you know, the non-Mormons still think of them as Mormons, and that's what we refer to them. But a horrible incident. Over the weekend in Michigan. Yeah, David, thanks so much for the update. Local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A shooting at a Mormon church in Michigan leaves at least five people dead, including the gunman.
A man rammed his vehicle into the front doors of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc, Michigan. The 40-year-old man then got out of his vehicle and began shooting. The shooter was shot and killed by two local police officers. Police say the shooter deliberately set the church on fire, a blaze that engulfed the entire church.
And that's Fox's Brian Yenis. The shooter was an Iraq war veteran. And President Trump reacting on Truth Social, saying this epidemic of violence in our country must end, announcing over the weekend he's sending troops to Portland, Oregon.
I think this is a sad day for our country, a sad day for Oregon, that the President of the United States does not listen to local leaders about what they need and how we can be in partnership.
That's Democratic Governor Tina Kotek. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies. It is 68 degrees here in Pensacola. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way here in just a few minutes. Well, in just a few days, Pensacola City residents will be eligible to sign up for resident parking permits.
That's for our folks who live in our city. You'll either be able to get 50% off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in city-owned spaces. That'll be available to folks when the proof of residency.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there from his Minute with the Mayor on social media. Residents with the permit would still use Park Mobile, and the permit would be attached to your license plate number. Senior citizens would be eligible for the Resident Senior Pass, and that would be allow you to park in any city-owned space at a monthly rate of $10. Information for both resident parking permits and the Senior Pass are available at the city's website, parking website, that is, parkpensacola.com. A 35-year-old Pensacola man killed in a crash Sunday involving a semi-truck. Happened about 2:30 in the morning on Sunday, County Road 196, entering Highway 29. FHP says the man ran a stop sign and entered the path of a southbound semi-truck. The driver of the pickup truck was pronounced dead at Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola. A cantonment man facing a felony DUI charge after a head-on collision with a BAC level almost four times the legal limit. Officials say 59-year-old James Reber Holder was driving the wrong way on East Olive Road when he struck another vehicle. Witnesses reportedly identified him as the driver. Holder's BAC was measured at .310, leading to charges including felony DUI and tampering with an interlock device. Holder had two prior DUIs, making the incident a third-degree felony. He was arrested and released on a $5,000 bond. Now, Tropical Storm Imelda, not expected to deliver a direct hit, but there is still some concern along Florida's east coast. Volusia County still replacing sand lost during previous storms, and officials are hoping that Imelda isn't going to disrupt those efforts. The National Weather Service also issuing a wind advisory for both Volusia and Brevard counties, and also beaches there dealing with rough surf here over the weekend. The Volusia Sheriff's Office said a man did drown on Saturday. Deputies also said lifeguards had to make hundreds of rescues over the last several days. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis wants the state to cut ties with the American Bar Association. DeSantis wrote on X yesterday that he supports ditching the ABA, but to do that, it would be up to the Florida Supreme Court to make the change. He also said Texas recently did something along those lines. 6:34, let's get a look at our weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, nice sunny weather again, high near 88. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, a small 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise mostly sunny, high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Well, thank you very much, Brooke. 68 and clear skies right now, 6:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays on 98. If you're on Highway 29 southbound right around 10 Mile Road there, we're seeing just some minor delays, but that's all I am seeing so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 6:35, our next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply lower by more than 1.6% on Ukraine drone attacks cutting Russian supply. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $64.41 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $68.94 per barrel. Treasury yields moved lower this morning as investors look ahead to several economic releases this week, including a key jobs report. The 10-year Treasury yield was lower by over 4 basis points to 4.143%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was lower by 2 basis points at 3.625%. Federal Reserve Vice Chair for Supervision Michelle Bowen says that she believes decisive interest rate cuts are needed to ward off rising trouble in the job market. When the Fed met last month, policymakers trimmed the key interest rate target range by a quarter of a percentage point to between 4 and 4.25%. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 299. That's Your Money Now.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about.
The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go further. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive.
All of us at Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes want to thank you for selecting us for the second year in a row as InWeekly's Best of the Coast Best Law Firm.
We look forward to continuing to help our neighbors with insurance and personal injury claims. TWWLawFirm.com.
Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes, attorney and counselors at law.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go further. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation can help your business thrive.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
I just learned something about dating. There's this new trend called Shrekking.
He's trying to segue into a clip that to rip on me.
I respect.
I don't like it.
I respect.
Okay, what's Shrekking?
Shrekking is going viral now.
What is Shrek? What is Shrekking?
Shrekking describes the act of dating down on purpose. The idea is that you pick someone you believe is less attractive than you because you think they'll be grateful, worship the ground you walk on, and never hurt you. They're saying that the girls are Shrekking you. You're Shrek, my G. You're a little Asian Shrek.
What?
The discussion was over a practice called Shrekking, which has become, I guess, common. The idea is a woman, particularly, will date a guy that she considers to be physically inferior to her, less beautiful. And, or, I mean, you could do it the other way too. You know, if you're a guy and you're handsome, you could date a woman who's less pretty or, you know, she's overweight or, you know, whatever. Some person who's going to feel grateful to be dating you. And then theoretically, they're going to, you know, they're going to be great to you because, you know, and, you know, even in deliberately dating somebody that you're not all that attracted to because, you know, kind of the, there's the theory that if you're in a romantic relationship and you play hard to get, that makes the other person more interested. Well, what if you're not playing hard to get? What if you're just like, man, I really don't care much about you? Then it just you don't have to put on an act, you know, hiding something. You're really just not that interested. And then they're always, you know, sort of in a codependent, abusive sort of way. they're always pursuing you. And, you know, you don't have to convince them to always be pursuing.
You're an ogre.
Oh, you're expecting Prince Charming.
So, what do you think about this practice? Strikes me as pretty brutal, you know, as a theory. You know, date a dumb guy because then he'll always admire your intelligence, you know. You know, it kind of reminds me of the old Kid Creole and the Coconut song. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Remember that song from like the 50s. Anyway,
that's a little before my time.
You've heard it though. It's a great song because it's, you know, look, if you have a not as beautiful woman, she's not going to be as desired by people who might try to steal her from you. She's not going to feel like she's able to go somewhere else so easily. She, I mean, there's theory behind this. It's terrible, horrible, awful theory, but, you know, it's literally the theme of a song. So 4-3-7-16.
I'm really just letting you talk.
Yeah, just let me talk it on through.
Yeah.
Well, no, but the I think the question, though, it's kind of an interesting one to me, is it better for people to be kind of on par with each other? As in, you know, physical beauty. Is it better for them to be relatively comparable? You know, you've seen couples and you've seen the guy is phenomenal looking and the woman is not. And you think, well, how'd that happen? Or the woman is phenomenal looking and the guy is not. And you think, well, how'd that happen? You know, money. Like mismatched couples. So what'd you say?
Money.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry.
Well, you've seen the 25-year-old playmate and the 75-year-old guy. And you think, well, how does that happen now?
Money,
exactly.
Money.
Well, you know how that happens. But even if that weren't the reason, right? It's just love. It's just, you know, he gets me.
he does.
Maybe. There's an element of, you know, look, she's grateful in a way that older women aren't, or he's grateful in a way that younger men aren't in that particular gold diggery kind of, you know, relationship. Now, of course, the flip side is a lot of times these deliberately fabricated power imbalance situations are fundamentally unhealthy, right? Because if you don't respect the other person, it's going to be hard going for a long time. Right. And if you don't admire the other person, it's going to be hard going for a long time, because it's really hard to love and serve and devote and sacrifice and give and take in a relationship where it's highly imbalanced. So people are finding out that, you know, it doesn't always work out exactly the way they planned.
Oh my God, so I just learned that people are doing this new thing, like Gen Z is doing this thing called Shrekking, which is where you date somebody that you don't find physically attractive whatsoever, like you think they're actually ugly, but the theory is that they're going to treat you well because they're ugly, so now their personality makes up for it, and they're like going to be nice to you. But I want to let you know that I did that with every ex that I've ever had, and they've all turned out evil because they had a baddie on their arm.
First of all, when you self-describe as a baddie...
Uh-huh. Let's start with that phrase.
We may have other issues in this
more than just
psychological analysis than just that you've been Shrekking all this time and didn't realize it.
And they're like going to be nice to you, but I want to let you know that I did that with every ex that I've ever had, and they've all turned out evil because they had a baddie on their arm. They gained all this confidence and they ended up cheating on me, lying to me, manipulating me, gaslighting me. They ended up being the worst human being I've ever met in my entire life. So not only were they ugly, but they were terrible.
Maybe he was the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to be an expert in the whole situation, but just as an outsider who watched an unendurably long 23 seconds of TikTok to grab that clip. oh, no, 31 seconds. No wonder it was painful. Oh. Anyway.
so long.
No, I love how he's like, I pretty womaned him. You know, I Cyrano, or I, what's the classic? Not Cyrano de Bergerac. Anyway, My Fair Lady kind of Pygmalion. I Pygmalioned him. You know, I brought him up out of their obscurity and I put a baddie on their arm, and then they got confidence and they thought they could do anything and they cheated on me. But again, there might be a common factor in this particular analysis. So 4-3-7-16-20. Have you seen it? By the way, one of the, I kid you not, I was reading an article about this, and one of the things that came up was the idea that women these days, younger women in particular, let's say 30 under, don't do it because they feel like their friends will look down on them for choosing so beneath them a person. And their response is, no, I'm giving them a chance. You know, they might be fantastic.
Donkey.
Perfect. Little bit of a, you know, kiss the frog and make them a prince. Sort of. I don't know. There's all kinds of dimensions to this. 4-3-7-16-20. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. One accident to let you know about on Muskogee Road and Highway 29. It's off to the side of the road, but just some minor delays right in that area. The I-10, I-110, the rest are looking good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Donkey.
I know. It just gives me an excuse to play the clips is all.
This is the part where you run away.
4-3-7-16-20. By the way, this is not new. I mean, Shrekking as a term is new, right. But, you know, every new generation comes up with a thing that people have done before. It's obviously not the first time that people have, you know, deliberately gone and grabbed people that they thought would admire them, emulate, or, you know, look up to them, worship them, adore them, because they'd be grateful, you know, as opposed to being really on a par with them, which is, you know, always a little bit of a warning sign, right? I see this more in the context of the older guy, younger woman, you know, that, you know, he's into her for her body and she's into him for his success, status, money, you know, whatever. But also, like, older women with a little more experience will, you know, push back and criticize, and they will react to you differently than somebody who's 30 years younger than you. And I mean that in a good way. Like, they demand to be treated with respect as an adult. And younger women may not always. They may just, you know, oh, you're so great, you know, which is also pretty unhealthy psychologically. 648 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, a couple texts in. Let's see. Have you ever seen this? By the way, I'm curious if you've seen it or if this is kind of like a thing that you have observed in your own relationships with other people. Let's see. It's been my observation, somebody texts, that somebody's willingness and ability to hurt you, cheat on you, or ruin your life is in no way correlated to their attractiveness. I think that's probably accurate. It's kind of unrelated to anything else. Couples where one of them is way more attractive and cool than the other might be what Taylor Tomlinson calls chocolate-covered raisins. That's funny. Taylor is the, I don't know if the show's on anymore, the late-night show that she does. It's really quite funny. She's a great comedian. 437-1620, James says, there's no substitute for genuine desire. If someone is with you for any other reason than that, the clock is ticking, like manufactured relationships, you know. I will say this one part is, arranged marriages have a much higher success rate than what they call love marriages. Individuals picking based on their own desire for somebody, just statistically, is a terrible process. It's a terrible approach. Here's why. When you live in a culture that believes in arranged marriage, typically, not always, there are abuses and there are, I know, but typically, when you look at like conservative Jewish or Muslim, you know, or even Christian in some circles, sort of the old idea of the parents or the matchmaker, I mean, actually really works. And part of the reason it works is not because, you know, people are high attraction. It's because you literally make matches that make sense. You know, we realize strengths and weaknesses of people better than they can for themselves. I mean, how many of your friends you've ever told them, oh, man, you're making a huge mistake with that guy? And you're right, and they're wrong, but they're in love or in sex or, you know, whatever, right? And so they can't see it. And then they find out later, and they're like, oh, you were so right. Well, yeah, because the people around you often know better than you do, who really would be a good match for you. The other one is that arranged marriages typically are very, very anti-divorce cultures. And one of the things that makes a marriage work for a long time is when both people are very anti-divorce. Like, we're just not going to quit. That will do a lot to preserve a marriage. And then because once you can't leave, or don't believe you can leave, you find a way to make it work. You know, you devote yourself to that. You know, most people in the sort of love marriage societies think that that's a recipe for disaster, because if you can't leave, then there's no incentive to be good. Yeah, that's because you think of it in a conditionality sense. When you think of it in an unconditionality sense, the people who are, you know, forced into marriage and they don't have any other choice about it, well, I guess we have this to make work, you know, and so it often does. Anyway, the divorce rate in arranged marriage culture is extraordinarily low compared to like our divorce rate we can't really brag about. It's not half. People say it's half. It's not half. It's more like a third for first marriages, but it's still way too high. We're talking like, gosh, it's been a long time since I did research on this, but it's like 2% the divorces in arranged marriage cultures. And again, I know, you know, the kind of old man, young woman, like the Afghani model or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about traditional conservative religious cultures where the, you know, the groups and the parents arrange the marriage. They really actually work quite well. 437-1620. Let's see. In the West, oh, this is interesting. Somebody says, in the West, you marry the one you love. In the East, we love the one we marry. Right, because the important elements of love are choices anyway, not passions. You know, you make a choice to serve for somebody, to forgive them, to, you know, be gracious, all that kind of stuff. The person says, I can't remember if it's attributable to an actual person or if it's just a proverb. I agree. That's a good point. 652 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next car, not that new next wife. If you're thinking about that next car, hey, listen, you know, you get tired of this car. One of the advantages is you can move on to another one real easy. Just, you know, quick sign a piece of paper. It's Very different from a relationship. And that's the point is, you know, your current car won't even get jealous. So if you're thinking about that next vehicle and you got your eye on something spicy and wonderful, go down to Frontier and look around. I can't believe I'm making this analogy, but here we are. It's unavoidable now. No, but seriously, if you are no longer happy with the old car, go find a new one. You can probably you held on to the old one too long. This analogy is starting to hurt me. Anyway, cars and people are different. Be careful. No, but seriously, I know this is my habit. My habit is I start putting, you know, $500 every 6 months and $1,000 every 6 months into the old car because I like to brag about driving a Honda to 300,000 miles, which I have done. But honestly, it starts to cost you more than even a newer car would cost. And obviously, you don't get the enjoyment out of having the newer car, which is, you know, they're usually much better. So if you're in the I don't love my car anymore phase, go to Frontier. Look around. Find something that you will enjoy. You deserve it. Might even save you money getting a newer car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival comes to Calvert's in the Heights this Friday and Saturday. Hear the stories, the interviews, enjoy music loved by all, and meet songwriting legends. From Rick Huckabee to Gary Nichols, James Atkins to Mike Magno. Country, folk, bluegrass, rock, and Muscle Shoals influences. The Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival at Calvert's in the Heights, October 3rd and 4th. Admission is free at Calvert's, the relaxed restaurant and bar with great seating and stunning views of Pensacola Bay, 670 Scenic Highway.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Tune in today as WSRE-TV's Bill Harrell, executive producer of Studio Amp, and Mary Riker, WSRE marketing director, will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9 to discuss the upcoming Studio Amp concert series starting next week with the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival. It's going to be a fun-filled Pensacola Expert Panel show you don't want to miss this morning at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Takes me to you. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, kind of interesting note I got from somebody that said about Pensacola City Council. We're talking about naming the chambers, and Jared Moore had to step in and do the motion when nobody else stepped up to do it. Interestingly, apparently City Council has a rule that allows that without making any kind of an exemption. That's something that's also quite different between Pensacola City Council and most of the other deliberative bodies, is that the you know, the chairman or the president in most other ones does not have the ability to make a motion unless they, some of these like procedural Robert's Rules of Orders-y kinds of things are highly artificial. They're not, most of them are not necessary. I think it's always funny how each body thinks that its rules are like the only right way. And I will tell you, having watched all of these meetings many, many, many times, they all are different. And the rules that they think are so important are done exactly the opposite by the other county commission or by the other city council. I think, honestly, it would be a benefit to a lot of these city council or county commissioners to watch some of the other board meetings just to see how other people do it. It's interesting. It's like going to other churches once in a while just to see how other people do it. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now on Muskogee Road and Highway 29. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm seeing a little bit of delay in that area. Still rolling good with I-10, I-110. Seeing some delay right now on Highway 29 southbound again around the 10-mile road area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The Trump administration is being sued by the state of Oregon and the city of Portland in an effort to block the deployment of the National Guard. The president announcing on Saturday he was sending troops to protect Portland ICE facilities from domestic terrorists. Meanwhile, the National Guard is expected to arrive also apparently in Memphis this week. Agents from over a dozen federal agencies helping out as part of the continuing federal crime crackdown. Talks set to resume today in the ongoing Boeing strike. Union officials say a federal mediator will be joining the negotiations in an effort to bring the two sides together and end the almost two-month work stoppage. This is the 3,000 Boeing employees in St. Louis that have been on strike now since the first week of August. And, Andrew, there's a new record for the highest attended ticketed concert in U.S. history. It was Zach Bryan. He performed at Michigan Stadium over the weekend and drew a crowd of 112,408 people.
Wow.
Wait, okay. A, huge. B, I thought, like, some of these open-air festivals like Woodstock, I thought they were like 250,000.
Well, I think there's probably
it's
got to
be a venue,
right? Yeah, this
characteristic
is,
limit. Okay.
Yeah, because this was at a football stadium. I think the open air things you can get probably a lot more people in, but
okay.
I don't know if they counted every ticket on those or not.
Okay, and then I mean, you know, people in the blimps and people on the rooftops, people on the ground. Okay, all right, fair enough. Oh, since you were talking about performances, did you see who's going to be the halftime show performer for the Super Bowl?
I did not.
Go ahead, John. You look like you want to say it.
Adele?
Oh, you don't? Bad Bunny.
Huh?
Bad who?
Bad who? Andrew?
You're old. I'm only slightly less obviously old because at least I know who Bad Bunny is. He's a superstar in the Latin performing world. Massive superstar. And that you haven't heard of him is...
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.